Amen. Praise the Lord.
To start off, I need three volunteers. Three volunteers. It's not an embarrassing demonstration. Ryan. Okay. One more. Okay. Very good. So, this, I hope, is going to set the tone for what we're talking about today. Okay, Brian on this side, Caleb here. You right there. I need you and you, Brian, to hold this up. All right, I've got a different job for you. Okay, so I want you, can you guys turn around? There's that lip there. Thanks. So I want you to take this cone, and I just want you to try, I don't know if you can do it, I want you to try to take this cone just like this and balance it on that flat surface right there, on that. Just, I don't know if you can do it, just see if you can set it down and balance it. He's got a, okay, thinks he's pretty good. So one more time. See, now be delicate. See if you can balance it on that big area there. I'll take two for two. Okay. Balance it this way. You did it before. You did it the other way. Okay, so now flip it back over the other way, and I want you brothers to take this surface and just, don't be crazy, this is a family-friendly show, just shuffle it around a little bit, just kind of jostling around, it's pretty okay, right? It's actually not even moving, it's not even moving. Okay, try to balance it on that again for me, and hold super still. I don't think it's going to work. It's not working, right? Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
So, thank you, brothers. I appreciate that. Why was it so easy to balance like this, but not balance it like this? I wanted a pyramid, but I didn't. I couldn't find a pyramid, so I'm using this. You have to imagine this is a pyramid. There's a good base here. It's properly oriented to balance like this. This is not properly oriented. If you'll notice, he couldn't even get it to sit like this. But here, they could jostle that board around and it didn't even move, let alone tip over. The way that cone, or the way that a pyramid was oriented, meant all of the difference between being able to balance and it not fall over and it not being able to be balanced at all. That's super important. The way, nothing changed about it. It was just the way that it was oriented. Okay? So remember that, especially as we get into Roman numeral 2. Along with that, that was a very good last song that we sang, right? It was a very good song. I really enjoy that song. But I'm going to pick on it. It's a very good melody with that song. No doubt, likely all of us touched our spirit when we sang that song. But also, likely, how easy is it for us, if we're not diligent, to just enjoy how sweet that song is in our soul? And that difference between exercising to be one spirit with the Lord while we're enjoying that hymn versus and just enjoying the very sweet melody and very good words is the difference between enjoying a song and, if I can use direct language, doing something that matters in contacting the Lord and being one with the Lord, where we actually advance in our Christian life and allow Him to advance in His life with us. This, how we approach things, how we're oriented, matters so much in the difference between an experience and a genuine Christian experience, right? Not every experience is a Christian experience. Not every spiritual experience is a Christian experience, right? Lord, should we cast fire down on them? You don't know what spirit you're of, right? So not even every spiritual experience is a proper Christian experience. So let's keep that in mind. Let's read Roman numeral 1. And Roman numeral 1 and Roman numeral 8 are going to serve as bookends for why this matters so much, that we learn not just to have experiences, but that we learn how to have experiences in the Christian life as portrayed in the Bible. So let's read Roman numeral 1 together. To understand the value of genuine Christian experience, we must realize that God could just as easily accomplish His goal. We should murmur less when the Holy Spirit prompts us to consecrate. Our consecration and God's acceptance is God's condescending to us, elevating us, and bestowing His glory upon us. We haven't even made it past the first point, and we found my first typo. We must realize that God could just as easily accomplish His eternal goal without us. God needs man to accomplish His eternal goal. God does not need Ben, right? If Ben fails to have genuine Christian experiences that accomplish God's purpose, God will go elsewhere. How many men and women, especially we see this in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament too, how many men and women were overlooked because they were not joined to the Lord? Even Brother Witness Lee points out, he said, with Noah, could we really believe that Noah was the only man on the earth who was trying to serve the Lord? No. Right? But he was the only one that built the ark, which is a type of the church. Right? Barnabas and Paul, Saul at the time, right? Barnabas and Paul, they were together. And then one of them wrote like 17 books of the Bible and the other one disappears. Right? Because we have to have proper experiences with the Lord. So we need to be those who right off the bat have a heart. Lord, I don't want to just be here. I want to be somebody who is integral in what You're doing on the earth. And that doesn't mean that we have to have a big church or a big ministry or like the best podcast or whatever. It just means that we have to be those who day in and day out, we are living one spirit with Him. And now I'm walking by the Spirit, step by step, day by day. Lord, Your purpose means everything to me. Right? Amen. Roman numeral 2, let's read that together. We are the most complex creatures on earth, but our entire being has been improperly reoriented. No bueno. We have three parts to our being, a spirit, a soul, and a body. If you want more information on this, look at footnote 1. Go to tripartiteman.org. It is the best website I've ever seen for looking at ministry excerpts, biblical bases and support, and very, very sincere and advanced believers throughout church history talking about what we're about to talk about right now. And it is more reading than you will do. Check that out. Tripartiteman.org. It's at the bottom of whatever page this is. Someone read A1 for me. Luke, thank you for volunteering. A1, and the God of peace.
And the God of peace himself sanctify you holy. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's complicated enough. We have three parts. A body, a soul, and a spirit. A body, soul, and a spirit. Point B, the entire triune God lives in us. So here's man. I bet you didn't know this, but you're really just a giant circle. Oh, that's a B, not a D. This is your body. This is what the world sees. Right? They see a body moving around, right? Which is good. I don't want them to see like my insides. They just see our body, right? So that's our body. But within us, we have a soul, right? Which hopefully would be at peace. I wasn't meaning to make a peace sign, but hopefully our soul would be at peace. That has a mind, an emotion, and a will. And they don't always agree with each other, right? My mind says, Bob, you don't need dessert. But my emotion thinks it's going to die if I don't have that dessert. And my will is too impotent to choose what it needs to choose. This is all too real for me. A mind, an emotion, and a will. And then within that mind, emotion, and a will, we have a spirit with functions of fellowship, our conscience. We have learned ones here, and our intuition. Three layers. Our fellowship is how we commune or communicate with the Lord and with the Lord and one another. Fellowship literally means to both give and to receive. That's what fellowship is. Our conscience, we're going to talk about our conscience. Our conscience tells us when we've done something dumb or when we're about to do something that we ought not do. The conscience says, oh, I don't know about that. And our intuition, suffice it to say, sometimes we know things and we just don't know how we know them. Spiritual things, right? Spiritual things. We have insight about a situation that we just shouldn't have. We don't know why we have that insight, but we just have it, right? If you ever this is what I think it is. This is not gospel. But sometimes, like someone will come to you and they'll say, hey, I wanted to talk to you about something. And for whatever reason, you know exactly what it is that they want to talk to you about before they even bring it up. I think that's the intuition of my spirit. I think that's something from the Lord. So, there's the cap. We're complex. And inside all of this, there's another triune person whose mind does not always agree with my mind. And emotion doesn't agree with my emotion. And will does not agree with my will all the time. That's hard. That's very difficult when there's another person inside of you who doesn't agree with you. It's hard enough living in the same house with someone that doesn't agree with me. This person's living inside of me. So who can read these verses in B1?
Even the spirit Wonderful. Of reality, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him, he abides with you and shall be in you. In that day you will know that I, the Son, am in my Father, and you and me, and I and you. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode with him.
Just a simple passage for scriptural basis. There's a lot more than this to show that all of the triune God does live in us, right? Not just the Spirit and then the Father and the Son are doing other things. So our entire being has been reoriented by the fall. The God-ordained man has as his center his Spirit. It controls his whole being. It controls his soul and his body. This man lives totally for God, and the emotions of his soul and demands of his body are headed up by his Spirit. They are all for glorifying and worshiping God. This is the God-created man. That's pretty good. The fallen man's spirit is subject to the soul, which can't even be one with itself, and the soul is controlled by all of its senses. The body has many abnormal cravings and lusts which entice the soul. Originally, the spirit took the lead, but now the body takes the lead to satisfy its lusts. So originally, we were led from the inside out. And now we're led from the outside in. Right? We see something, I gotta have it. Right? Or we feel something physically, and we can't focus on anything else until that pain goes away. Or until I eat something. Or whatever it is. Right? So because of this, we need to learn how to have proper Christian experiences. None of us really experiences the world as it is. All of us experience the world the way we receive it and interpret it. So it would be best if we received and interpreted all of our experiences the way that God views them. Right? So because of that, have you guys ever had an experience where you walk away and it's like, ah, why didn't I just turn to the Lord? I could have just called on the Lord. I could have preached the gospel to that person. Why did I lash out instead of praying? Or, man, I had the opportunity. Why didn't I repent to this individual? I know I sinned against them. Why didn't I confess? Why didn't I repent to them? Right, all these things, and it's like, ah. I missed an opportunity. Without getting too deep, like too far down a rabbit hole, there will be some who will go to summer school at the end of this age, called the outer darkness. Don't get to immediately be with the Lord. And it says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, which is a Hebrew idiom that means really expressing extreme sorrow and regret. And I heard this brother say that the reason we would experience that is because it will become manifest to us all of the millions and billions of opportunities we had through our life to take and experience Christ, and we didn't. So we're going to talk about five principles to help us grasp all of these experiences and gain the Lord. Okay? Just so you know, I am so far out of my depth here. Like, This is so far out of my depth. So point one, the more spiritual knowledge a man has, the easier it is for the Spirit to lead him. The devil is the authority of darkness. He utilizes darkness, loves darkness, and wants to keep man in darkness. Let's read the next point all together. For you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. When light comes into a situation, it makes the truth of that situation manifest. If we could block out those windows and turn off these lights, I could tell you any number of things. I'm waving my arms around. I've got one leg in the air. And none of you would know any different. It's pitch black in here. You can't see. But as soon as the light comes on, you know whether or not what I'm speaking is the truth. So this is really all of message one today. We need to know the truth. And not only that, The book of Colossians says we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We need to let the word dwell, because the verse we'll come to later, the word of God is living and operative and sharper than a two-edged sword, because the word of God is a person and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
So we need to know the truths, because then the Lord can remind us when we're ready for when we encounter something, the Lord can speak something to us. Not saying that he can't speak something to you if we're not constituted with the word, but how much easier for the Lord to speak to us if we're well acquainted with his language, right? Hebrews 1 says that in the old, God spoke through the prophets, but now Christ is speaking in Son, is the literal, right? The literal. It says he's speaking in the Son in most English translations, but really he's speaking Son. Because the word, the definition, the explanation, and the expression of God is a living person. So he's speaking Son to us. So what better way to be led by the Lord than to know his language and to speak his language? I'm going to flip that back over. So we have to know the truth. Let's read Roman numeral 4 together. Experience is a matter of life. It is not an idea. Mental thoughts can provide man with many beautiful notions. However, only experience can provide man with a well-developed human life. A together. For though you have 10,000 guides in Christ, yet you do not have many followers. I want to read some quotes to you. Everything that we're speaking today comes out of this book called Fact, Faith, and Experience. If you want that book, get a hold of someone from whatever city you came from, right? Get a hold of Derek, get a hold of Dan, get a hold of Ben, myself, Daryl, and we'll tell you, we'll help you get a copy. So this is the flip side of the last one. The last point was we need to know the truth. But this side is the truth is not enough, right? We have to actually enter into this experience. And more than that, we cannot ride the coattails of someone else into glory. We cannot grow in the Lord based off other people's experiences. Right? Caleb cannot eat for Luke. Derek can't exercise for me. Right? So, I'm going to read this, because this was extremely enlightening. We do not possess what we think. We only possess what we have experienced. Some Christians have no deep experiences of the Lord themselves. They do not have novel ideas or an ideal human life. Nevertheless, they are very good imitators. Spiritual progress is actually made one step at a time. Those who want to rapidly advance try to double the speed of their progress by their own strength, by their own methods, aka by copying others, without realizing that there is no shortcut in spiritual progress. Since these individuals have no real spiritual experience and their motive is not necessarily pure or right, they borrow spiritual experiences from others and take them as their own. They secretly acquaint themselves with other people's spiritual messages, and then at an opportune time, they take one or two statements from them in order to gain a reputation for eloquence and spiritual depth. They also have a wide collection of quotations from famous saints with observations about the world and seemingly everything, and then when the opportunity comes, they apply these quotes one by one. I love quotes, and they are beneficial, but they will not cause me to grow in the Lord. We have to petition the Lord. Lord, I don't want to know this verse. I want to live this verse. I want to experience this passage. I don't want to quote Philippians 3:10. I want to know the power of your resurrection. Amen. Right? So this, I was ready to throw my hands up after reading that chapter. It was, so we cannot, on the one hand, we have to know the truth, but on the other hand, just knowing things and having quips and anecdotes and quotes is not going to do it. And we will fool other people, but what is significantly more dangerous is we will fool ourselves into thinking that we're somewhere. And then we have an experience and we may realize that much of what we think is solid that we've built up in our Christian life is actually just a straw man. And there's no substance there. Five together, Roman numeral five together. If we are calm in our mind, we will have a very clear understanding and accurate evaluation concerning everything. For the word of God is living and operative, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Quick public service announcement while we're talking about being calm in the mind. Our spirit, because it's in the center of our being, is affected by our soul and our body, and vice versa. Our body and our soul can be affected by our spirit and ought to be, right? I forget the verse in Romans 10 says that if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, I think I'm missing a couple of words, will even give life to your mortal bodies. That's in the same verse, right? The spirit of the one dwells in you, he will even give life to your body. So we want our spirit to come out through our soul and our body, but our body and our soul impact our spirit. So that's why Paul says bodily exercise is profitable for a little. We should do it. It's going to be difficult to be exercised and strong in spirit if we're just lethargic all the time. We don't have any energy, right? Now, we don't have to be CrossFit champions, but we should be healthy. We need to take care of our vessels. And the same thing goes with our soul. We need to take proper care of our mind. We need to take proper care of our emotions and our will, right? This is a big deal. Now, we shouldn't make something bigger than it ought to be, but we can't neglect it. We cannot neglect these things. They're very important because sometimes, because also we can be deceived. If our body is not in a proper condition, our soul is not in a proper condition, right? I don't know how many times I've spoken something, and in the moment, you know, I really thought like, you know, I was one with the Lord, and I realized that it was just some negative aspect of my soul that was coming out of my being. So we have to take care of this. This is so important, right? That's an important parenthesis. Spiritually speaking, being calm in the mind, we need the word. The word does this. The word will come in and it will separate. It will delineate and it will give us so much clarity as for what in us is the natural soul and what in us is our spirit. Philippians 3:5, I think it is. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I longed after you with the inward parts of Christ, right? So we need this to be taken care of so that way we can properly receive and assess these spiritual experiences that we're, or these human experiences that we're having. Witness Lee said of Watchman Nee, the person who spoke this book, he ascribed his seemingly supernatural spiritual growth to the fact that he took every experience he had as if it was directly from the hand of God. What an approach. Lord, I don't know. I'm going to assume this is from you and ask you, what do you want? Amen. I'm open. Six, I already know I'm going to run over time. Roman numeral six together. The present question is not whether or not a biblical teaching is essential. If it's included in the Bible, it surely is essential. The question is whether or not the saints will honor God's glory and his will. Sam, can you read this verse? Roman numeral 5a, yeah.
Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish the bill. For truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth pass away, one iota or one seraph shall by no means pass away from the law till all come to pass.
I saw a video last night, and this person had asked a question. They said, can I love and respect God and not agree with him? Short answer, no, not really. When we read the Bible, we shouldn't be asking, does this apply? Does this matter? This is not the question. The question is, Lord, how does this matter? What does this mean? Your word is eternal. I believe your word is eternal. If I don't believe that, Lord, I hope that you would help me believe that your word is infallible and eternal. But even all these things in the Old Testament, Lord, I don't know. I feel so far removed from this. Lord, what does this word mean? Right? Because otherwise, we take our own standards. Right? We take our own standards. I think it was Aquinas. He said that if we add to the Bible what we want and take out of the Bible what we don't want, then what we're left with is not the Bible, but ourselves. So we can't this is not a grocery shopping mentality. Just take what you want and leave the rest. Lord, I don't know what to do with this passage. And sometimes that means we take that passage and we say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. Maybe because we don't agree with it. I don't agree with this verse, Lord, and I don't know what to do with that. Lord, I give this verse to you. I'm going to take it. I'm going to put it up on the shelf, and I'm going to ask you to bring that back up when I'm in a position for you to shed some light on that. The conscience is God's voice of righteousness within man. It's a part of the Spirit, and its function is to rebuke everything that is not of God and against righteousness. Because of this, I also exercise myself to always have a conscience without offense towards God and man. Jesse, how many calluses do you have on your hands right now? A whole bunch, right? Why? Because he abuses them. It's the truth. They get beat up because of the weight bars that he's holding. I wish I had calluses. I don't have any calluses on my hand. Because of the weight bars that he's abusing them. So you know what happens? Yeah, it protects him from the pain of the bar next time. But also you could stick a needle in it and he wouldn't feel it. When we don't properly take care of our conscience, it becomes a callus. And the Lord is trying to speak something to us, and we don't feel it. Or we hear it, and it's like, no, that's silly. That's old thought. That's tradition. I live in 2021. Right? So we need to keep short accounts. We need to confess all the time. Start to sensitize your conscience, maybe by confessing things that you don't even know if it needs confessed. I don't even know if we need to confess that. Well, confess it. Lord, I don't know about this thing. I just give it to you. Wash me in your blood. I apply your blood and get a proper amount of sensitivity, right? Because otherwise, we're just walking throughout the day, sinning, bumping into things, and the Lord is trying to speak with us and adjust us, and we have no idea that he's there. Right? And then we wake up one day, a year, 2 years, 10 years down the road, and realize that we're so far off in our own thing, we don't even know how to get back, right? To our spirit, to where the Lord is, right? So we want to keep short accounts and keep that clean. So I'm going to recap those 5 points in about a minute. I know I'm over by 4 minutes right now. I apologize. These 5 points. So one, our being is all sorts of messed up. We should be led by the Spirit. We're not. We're often led by our soul. We're led by our body. So we need help. So 5 really quick things that we can do. We can know the truth so the Lord can guide us into proper spiritual experiences. We can endeavor to experience the truth, right? Instead of just knowing it. Right, so we can know it, and then we can experience it for ourselves. We can get a proper delineation of our soul and our spirit by the word. So that way, when an experience comes our way, we're looking at it with God's economy goggles on, and we see everything through his lens. We ask not what the word, not if this word in the Bible matters, but how it matters, right? And we ask the Lord to make things known to us. And then we make sure that we have a sensitive conscience. We're dealing with the Lord regularly. And all of these things, hopefully, will bring us into a daily, step-by-step, moment-by-moment walk with the Lord. Let's read Roman numeral 8, and then we'll have probably 20, 25 minutes of sharing, and then we'll do dinner and go home. So let's read Roman numeral 8 together. And, just read this intently, right? Read it with a lot of, really pay attention. This really struck me when Brother Watchman Nee said this. God's needs must be met, but who will meet them? Who will step forward to preach his word, and who will fill up his glory? If you do not step forward, do not think that God will be short of help. He will raise up others. But it will be a pity that you will not be able to share in the glory. God's desire is to come down to us in all of our experiences. And when we experience him in all these aspects of our daily life, he brings us up with him into glory, right? Moment by moment, and then ultimately in eternity. Hallelujah. I'm sorry I went over so far, saints. So let's have, 20, 25 minutes of sharing. We can just go until dinner is ready. From any part of the day, any of the three sessions, lunch, any fellowship that you've had with anybody, anything that touched you, we really want to hear it because the Lord is speaking through all of the members in the body, right? Amen.